Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. This is On the Real with Dr. Deb, and you know who I am. I'm America's family therapist, and I am a part of this family. And my job, I have decided my job in the family is to call the group to the table, call the family to the table to talk about what we need to talk about. Today's program is brought to you by Black Business University, where you can teach, learn, and or get paid. Thank you so much, Black Business University. Now, today, family, I want to talk about the pain and shame of racism. Now, I've talked about shame before. I insinuated, suggested pain before. But today, I just want to talk about it straight up. You know, in my little blurb when I was preparing for today, the pain is, everybody feels the pain, but nobody feels it like Black people. I'm just going to put it out straight like that. Nobody feels it like Black people. Can you imagine coming from a people, growing up as a person, and having everything in your world suggest to you that there's something wrong with you, physically, mentally, emotionally, everything, something is wrong with you. And then everything in the world, on television, at school, perhaps at church, everything just reminds you that something is wrong with you, and not just you, your roots, your people, your people's people. So then you grow up and you find a way to get past that, and you found a life that you think is going to give you the kind of a quality of living that you want, and there still are things that says to you that there's something wrong with you. That's painful. And then you try to, you know, we have had all kinds of movements, you know, Black and I'm Proud, we wore afros and braids. We did all kinds of dashikis, and we have our own culture. We did all kinds of things, just reaffirming who we are, feeling good about who we are, only to have something else comes up to say there's something wrong with a nappy head. You know, there's something wrong with cornrows. And so in our attempts to try to feel better about who we are in this country and to contribute and continue to feel good about our past, the good and the bad, the not so good, there's still this struggle. There's this psychological pain, trauma, if you will, that has happened that is not going away. But we keep trying, and we keep trying to feel good about who we are and where we're from. And then there's a generation of us, and I have to speak this, there's a generation of us, probably the youngest generation of parents, young parents, who somehow, in some way, did not get the memo about the greatness of what it means to be Black and the dignity of what it means to be a Black American or African, of African descent, and the struggle. We just deal with the ones that came to this shore, the struggle just to live, just to survive, just to make it. And somehow there's a group of us that have total, and if you look at the reality TV show, you know what I mean, TV shows, you know what I mean, totally disconnected from the vast wealth of talent and intellect and force and spirit that comes in the Black family and as a whole. And so some of us look at that and we wonder, are we as great as we think we are? Because some of us didn't quite get the memo, and therefore we don't live up to who we really are and who we really can be. Okay? So the pain shows itself in the way these characters behave and talk to each other and talk about each other and respond to the world. The pain continues to show. And then, you know, you get, when we went back in the 80s, when the Cosby Show and A Different World was out there, that it was almost like they were looking for some reason to cut these shows. And, of course, for whatever reason, they were cut. But they had the kind of impact that suggests that you can keep striving, you can feel good about who you are. And, yes, it is possible to have two professional parents in the household and everybody is safe and happy and not on drugs and not turning tricks or not selling drugs. There were, these shows showed us all of who we are, not just one part. So, but it was painful still. The pain is there that even in that, there are struggles because nobody could believe that these kinds of black people existed. Or rather, we would say they didn't want to. So that's the pain of one group. Now, the shame of the other group, the shame of black people, of white people, and of course there's shame in our communities as well. It's kind of wrapped up in the pain, quite honestly. But the shame, again, I remind you often that when I taught my diversity class at the university for about 15 years, I had the hardest time trying to get the white students to hear what I just said to you without them thinking that I am pointing the finger and indicting them in some kind of way. And it finally occurred to me that it wasn't white guilt, it was white shame. Who wants to be identified with a people that would deliberately create a story about another people for profit, for gain? It could have been financial gain. It could have been about social gain, social status. Whatever that privilege that came out of racism, this idea that something is extremely superior about being white and something is extremely inferior about being black, whatever that motive was, it is still there. And you have white people walking around saying black people ought to get over it. Of course, and I'm not going to even go down the other list of other people whom this country have recognized and in some kind of way repaid in some degree these people for the pain that this country has caused. But what keeps them from doing that with Africans in America? What prevents that? And I would dare say shame. Shame. I used to think it was greed, but I think it's shame. Again, let's imagine you go to someone's house, you grab their child, you take the child and you make the child work for you for free. You get rich because of the work the child did. But then you tell the child that he or she is inferior. He or she doesn't have what it takes to make it on his or her own. And you do this, and the child then has children. And then they have children. And everybody believes what you told the great-great-grandparents. And now, and of course we know these children were yours because you had unconsensual sex, which was rape, had sex with this child, and that's where all these children have come from. So now you're, let's say, 100, 200, 300 years later, and you're trying to forget what you did, and you're trying to ignore what's happened with this person and their ancestors. And you are a multi-millionaire, billionaire. You are extremely wealthy. You cannot, will not. You're too arrogant to look at yourself and say, "I wouldn't have all of this if it wasn't for the fact that I took this child from their parents and enslaved her or him." So can you imagine somebody trying to admit that kind of same shit when you, if you lie? You tell this stupid black or white lie. You tell this red lie. You tell this yellow lie. You tell this lie. And right today, you would have a hard time admitting that you lied. So now, consider. You lied, cheated, stolen, raped, lied. Did I say lied? And created this story around these people. And you want to show up you later and say, well, you know, I did all these awful things, and I want to make it right. No, you can't do that because you feel too bad about it. You don't even want to think about it. Now, by now, you have convinced yourself that you didn't do anything wrong. You've convinced your victims, if I can use that word, I hate it, but you've convinced the people that you have taken advantage of that you haven't done anything wrong. And now you think you haven't. So what I just described was the pain of black people, the shame of white people, and basically it's all mixed in there together. One of the things I say in my write-up about this show is that there's this huge elephant in the room that keeps getting bigger. It gets bigger the more we ignore it. So can you imagine the elephant in a house, taller, the trunk is out the roof, the sides are out the sides of the house, and there is no room for the people in the house. And, of course, it's a live, functioning elephant, so it's eating, sleeping, wasting. Yes, that's America. That's us. So imagine the United States with this huge, huge elephant standing, let's say, let's put it right in Oklahoma someplace. We can move over a little bit out. Yes, Montana, just kind of all in there. But his tail is out the Gulf, and his sides are out both the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, and, of course, his trunk is in Canada. And the tusks are in Washington State and New York. It's way, but we're pretending that this elephant is not taking over our country because we're too in too much pain and too full of shame to just acknowledge, oh, there's an elephant in here to take it over. And can you, as I lower my voice, I imagine that the elephant is shrinking as we continue to have our talk. As you listen to my broadcast and you get smaller. Let me interrupt right now and thank Black Business University where you can learn, teach, and get paid. Teach, learn, and get paid. Thank you so much for sponsoring our show today. So, the elephant, as we talk, as we listen, as we hear, as we acknowledge each other's voices, the elephant, he shrinks, she shrinks, and we are talking, and you are acknowledging my pain, and I am feeling your acknowledgement, and you are acknowledging your shame, and I am embracing you as you acknowledge your shame. We don't have to keep doing what we're doing. We don't have to keep lying to ourselves about what is happening in our country. We don't have to wait until the elephant just takes over and somehow, if you can imagine, this whole place shrinking because the elephant has just got too heavy, too big. But I tell you, my family, if we don't begin to acknowledge our own pain and our own shame, the elephant that's taken over. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go out like that. This is such a great idea this country is. And I can't love you like I want to because I'm quite turned off by you. But I'm in the family, so I'm going to stay after it. This has been On the Real with Dr. D, brought to you by Black Business University, where you can teach, learn, and get paid. Join me next week as I talk about our racist roots, the systemic racism in this country that, my goodness, is just making it difficult for us to fix anything because the roots of this tree are dry, rotten. It's been On the Real with Dr. Deborah, Dr. Deb, T See you next time, family. See you at the kitchen table. Until then, you already know.